Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Prepare Radio with your host, Diane Thomas.
Good morning and welcome to Prepare Radio. It's Diane Thomas, your host. It is Saturday morning. We have open lines. So if you want to call in with a question about any of the other topics we've been talking about, or if you have a question about something else, feel free to call in. We'll see if we can address it on air. Remember, you can always get in touch with me at diane@wecanprepare.org, and I respond to those emails as quickly as I can. So we've been talking about our series that we've been following along from start to finish has been on tithing, giving, and the scriptures. And again, what we've been looking at is, if you're going to follow the scriptures, if you're going to use the scriptures as the basis for you tithing or teaching tithing, you need to know what the scriptures say about tithing. And what we've looked at is what the scriptures say about tithing from the beginning of the book to the transition time. And what we have found out is that there's a very strong distinction between using the word tithing as a noun and tithing as a verb. In other words, a tenth of something is a noun. A tenth of your herd of cows that you're going to sacrifice to God as a gift is a certain number of cows. If you have 100 cows, a tithe of your cows is 10 cows. So we're not talking about money. And likewise, the verb is give or sacrifice or bless. It's not tithe. That the verb tithe is used in conjunction with the law that was given, starting with the law of Moses. And then as the circumstances of the people of Israel changed, the boundaries and the definition and the application of tithing as part of the law also changed. So we see clearly it's not a static thing. It was meant to fulfill a purpose within the society, and it did. And again, we want to look at tithing, especially through Malachi, was not treated as a separate part of the law. People say that it predates the law because Abraham tithed. And what we did is we went back and we looked at all the other examples where the word tithe is used to find out that it did not mean tithing. It was merely a tenth, and that the verb, the action that they did not tithe, they gave. And we went through the other examples where God never told Abraham to tithe. He never told Jacob to tithe. He never told anyone to tithe until the law. So that Abraham did not tithe, he gave. This is something we want to get into our heads very strongly as we move forward. Because now we've moved up through Malachi, and we've talked before about how the New Testament does not start until the resurrection. So at the end of Matthew, at the end of Mark, at the end of Luke, the end of John, and the beginning of Acts is where the New Testament starts. When as we look at what God promised through the law was a promise. A promise that he would change the hearts of his people to be one with his, so that the outward fulfillment of the law would not be behavior oriented, but that he would fulfill the law and change our hearts, so that what we did, we would do out of a new heart. Not to fulfill something, not to hold up our end of the bargain. And we'll go into more detail later at some other point, some other series, about the tremendous mindset change that we have to have as new believers in the difference between law and grace. So many churches teach and think they are teaching correctly grace. So many believers think they know what grace is, and yet they come to God thinking that they have to do something in order to be in relationship with him. The only thing that has to change in you is that you have to be re-inspirited, re-enlivened. They refer to it as being born again. Okay, for you and I, your spirit is dead or your spirit is alive. Those are the only two kinds of people in the world. If your spirit is dead, it doesn't matter how much you tithe, how much you believe God, how much you know about him. Being re-enlivened, re-spirited, is only something God can do. This is why this will change our approach to evangelism, to heaven and hell and what's coming next and what came before, because we have this whole idea that salvation and eternity is built around a concept of good and evil. And the more we remember and discover that God created both good and evil, and he considers them the same, they're his creation. He has complete control over them. The more we likewise get that mindset, the more we will begin to be able to receive his mindset. That in the spirit, his work is finished. But there are hindrances in our soul and somewhat in our body that he wants to overcome with us joining him so that we can be one, spirit, soul, and body, even as our spirit is already one in him. He doesn't need our help in reaching out to the world and evangelizing the world. He doesn't need our help in establishing the kingdom. It's already been done. We enter the kingdom. We don't make it. We don't build it. We enter it. And because tithing deals with money, it has a huge control over us as individuals and the religious circles, religious churches, because it's a means of control, a means of support. What we have found, again, is that tithing as a part of the law is specifically tied in to the rest of the law. There's, you know, rules and regulations for where you can eat, what you can eat, who you can eat with, how you grow your food. The year of Jubilee, I love the whole, you know, the whole concept of giving up work, giving up everything you make and giving it to God. The tithes, the offerings, if we started going through all the law, and yet we fight against the scriptures to make the scriptures say, no, we're supposed to tithe today. You have to sit on your head and spin around three times with your eyes closed to make the convoluted, draw the convoluted conclusions that tithing is for today. That the scriptures say tithing is for today. You have to be completely blind to what the scriptures actually say in order to conclude that the scriptures say for you to tithe. Now, again, this is for people who are using the scriptures as a way to support their belief or teaching that tithing is for Christians today. If you're saying we should tithe because you always have, or because it's worked for you, or because your pastor or whoever, you read a book, that's a whole other issue. Okay? We would have to go in on a person-by-person basis and deal with each one of those beliefs. So what we're starting with is what most people have come to the conclusion, supposedly based on, and that's what the scriptures say. So what is the transition time we're entering into in our discussion? We've looked at the law being given as a means to know God, and that in order to know him, that he would be their God, they had to fulfill. There were hundreds of rules and regulations, not just laws, not just Ten Commandments, but tremendous number of laws, rules and regulations. And again, we focus in on the one that gives us a hook, a way to make God bless us. And we won't go into all the different ways that's presented, because hopefully if you followed along, and if you need to go back and reread and re-listen, again, this teaching is available on the website and at wecanprepare.org. You can download it and go through it yourself, and I encourage you to do that. Or go back and listen to all the podcasts. We've gone and included all the scriptures, so you've got the references right there. Let them right into this podcast, so if you're driving along, you can hear the specifics of what these scriptures actually say. So you will be informed. You need to make these decisions for yourself. There is no mediator. You don't get to say, well, this is what my pastor's taught me, so God's not going to hold me accountable. Absolutely, you're accountable to God. You're accountable to your spirit. Your spirit knows the truth. So if you've got any question at all about it, it's from God. Now, God may not be dealing with you about it. Fine. That's not an issue. That's between you and him. But if he is, and maybe this is just a seed for you to some point down the road, come back and go, oh, wait a minute. Maybe this is something I do need to look at. Whatever God's dealing with you about, that's what you need to be dealing with. Because we're dealing with a very narrow topic. What do the scriptures say about tithing and giving? So the transition time was, again, God through the law, and through the Israelites' attempts at fulfilling the law, proved that they couldn't, because they were still dead in spirit. Even fulfilling the law did not change their hearts, did not give them a new spirit. When Adam died, when Adam and Eve died, their spirits died. They kept on going. Their soul kept on living. Their body kept on living. But they died in their spirit. And that's when we were born, when you were born. You died without a spirit. You have a soul and you have a body, but your spirit is dead. At some point in time, God enlivened it. Rebirthed your spirit. And since spirit begets spirit, in your spirit, you are one with God. But God had to make a way for that. What was proving our need? Because what had happened? What is the difference between us as new spirit beings, spirit, soul, and body, and Adam and Eve when they were walking around, spirit, soul, and body? Why did God go through this whole process of letting them die and then raising them up in Christ? Letting the first Adam die, and then, which made the necessity for a second Adam. Because we have something that Adam and Eve could not have, and that's gratitude, appreciation, receiving. Adam and Eve never received anything from God. They always expected it. Because that's the way it had always been. So if we look at, again, our description of God's basic nature as being a giver, it's not that he's holy and that he's, you know, righteous and all-powerful and all-knowing and all this on and on and on. But that his basic nature is, his expression of love is to give himself. When he gave himself to Adam and Eve, their receiving of him was without thought, without effort, without any change, without any acceptance whatsoever, because this is the way it had always been. So this is for us what we have that they did not, that they could not. When we receive from God, are grateful. We say thanks. We are grateful. Appreciative. Accepting. And this is where the whole tithing gets in. We find it so hard to just accept it. There has to be strings. There have to be things we have to do, either in order to receive his grace or to keep it. You know, it's, okay, God poured out his grace, so now he's made you a new creation. Now he's equipped you to go out and do thus and so. That's not it at all. As Paul says, what you have begun in grace, now you are going to fulfill by the law, by what you can do, what you can contribute to your own salvation, your own reconciliation. How hard we find it to simply accept and say thanks, show appreciation, be appreciative. Thank you, God. And to think that that's all he wants is for us to be appreciative of what he's already given us and is giving us even right now. And some of us are thinking, you know, I've missed it. He's not giving me anything. You need to talk to him about that. Because very often, we are keeping ourselves from receiving what he wants to give because of the lies we believe. That we blame the circumstances that we're in on ourselves. Now, sometimes we have done things, and there are circumstances to our behaviors that we reap the benefits of. But that's not spiritually. So we want to be able to distinguish what's going on in our lives according to His truth, not just something because we believe it, or we've been taught it, or it's the latest teaching. So it always goes back to, Lord, what is your truth here? Lord, is this you? Lord, is this something I need to be working on? Always going back to hearing from Him. So that transition period was between when God gave the promise and when He fulfilled it. We are in the fulfilled time, but there came a point in time. All along He gave aspects of the promise. But then there was the time when the promise had to be fulfilled here on this earth. It's like if you owed some money to someone, and instead of paying them back all at once, it took you several months, say 6 months, and you paid them back $100 each month. Well, you made a promise to pay them back, but it took you 6 months to do it. God made a promise that He would change our hearts so that we would be able to follow Him and know Him as a part of our new nature rather than as a part of our behavior. But it took the life of Jesus here on this earth. It took God pouring Himself into a person and fulfilling step by step, paying the debt step by step until that final payment was made at the cross. So the law was fulfilled by Jesus walking out day by day those aspects of the law that we could not. Then when you pay off that debt, it's paid off. It's done. And you're back to your free relationship where now there's nothing, there's no strings attached. And that's where the resurrection comes in. Because of the resurrection, we're not looking to the law to define our relationship with God anymore, because our debt's been paid off. So during that transition time, what did Jesus say about tithing? And again, this is that transition time where we still like to look at it as the New Testament, even though it's not. It's before the resurrection of Christ. But it's still under the law, even though it's in what we refer to as the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and part of Acts. But it's still under the law, because Jesus was, part of His job, a lot of His job, was to fulfill it. So it was still in effect. He chipped away at it until the final action that He took finished it. He paid off that debt. So the first thing we're going to look at, and we'll just get started here, is the motives of the Pharisees. And isn't it interesting? Is there was a lot of talk about Jesus, about His doing miracles, and about His teachings. But they were happy and content, the Pharisees and the church leaders, were happy and content to let Him be about His business. It wasn't until He really started getting in their face about the tithing, about the money, the money changers, that they had made his father's house a house of thieves. That's when they settled in their minds, in their hearts, that they needed to get rid of him. This is one of the reasons it's still such a controversy today. When you start telling a pastor or a head of a huge ministry that they can't rely on tithing, teaching tithing to their people to get them to send them money, they're really going to put up a fight, and they do. But so let's get started, and we're just going to start reading through the scriptures in Matthew and in Luke, the Pharisees' motives. We're going to start out with Matthew 23, verse 23. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. This is Jesus talking. For you pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin. Those are the little herbs. And have neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice and mercy and faith. These you ought to have done without leaving the others undone. So again, Jesus isn't talking down the law, but he's showing how the law did not have the effect of changing the heart. Then in Luke chapter 11, and we're going to go through verses 37 through 54. Again, Jesus speaking. And as he spoke, a certain Pharisee asked him to dine with him. So he went in and sat down to eat. When the Pharisee saw it, he marveled that he had not first washed before dinner. Then the Lord said to him, Now you Pharisees make the outside of the cup and dish clean, but your inward part is full of greed and wickedness. Foolish ones, did not he who made the outside make the inside also? But rather, give alms of such things as you have. Then indeed all things are clean to you. But woe to you, Pharisees, for you tithe mint and rue and all manner of herbs and pass by justice and the love of God. These you ought to have done without leaving the others undone. Woe to you, Pharisees, for you love the best seats in the synagogues and greetings in the marketplaces. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like graves which are not seen, and the men who walk over them are not aware of them. Let's just stop for a second. What he's saying there is that when we talk, when we teach others about what they are supposed to do, and we ourselves are not resting in God, we are tricking them. We are cheating them and manipulating them. So it's when we are, well, what does he call them? Hypocrites. We tell others to do something that we ourselves are not doing. And we're going to pick up there next Saturday. And that will be in Luke chapter 11, verse 45. Because what we want to get real clear is that Jesus' problem, when he addressed tithing, it was to the Pharisees. It was to the leaders that he was trying to correct their idea of tithing. So we'll pick it up there Until then, have a great weekend. We'll be getting back together again on Monday at 7:30. Again, if you have any questions, you want to get in touch with me, it's Diane@WeCanPrepare.org. Thanks for tuning in. This has been Diane of Prepare Radio. Have a great weekend.